Hi, this is Shelley Weitenberg, and welcome to this audio interview brought to you by lovesexandbusiness.com.
Our speakers today are no strangers to small business. Joanna started her career as a medical doctor, then took up acting before eventually finding her flow in business. Her partner, Greg Elliott, was a shift worker for 11 years as an air traffic controller before seeing the light and firing the boss. When Joanna and Greg started their business together, they took their own business from zero to $500,000 in 3 months. Now, if you're listening into this call and would like to make $500,000 in 3 months and maintain a fabulous lifestyle, you're in the right place. Dr. Joanna Martin is author of The Lifestyle Shift, and has spoken to over 45,000 people on three different continents. She's worked with big Australian companies such as ANZ Bank and Fairfax Publishing, as well as global organisations like eBay. With a background in systems development and property investing, Greg is the numbers man. They are here today to take you through the simple steps you need to create your own ultimate lifestyle business so that you can escape the daily grind and make more money and live life on your terms. Listen very carefully as Joanna and Greg take you through how to go from frantic to freedom in five easy steps. Dr. Joanna Martin and Greg Elliott, welcome to the call.
Thanks, Shelley. It's really great to be on the line with you.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you guys. Now, you've got such a fascinating career history, Joanna. Can you tell us a little bit about how you ended up in your ultimate lifestyle business?
Yeah, absolutely. It is fascinating. That's one word for it. Check it and ever-changing is another way of looking at it. Well, I actually started my working life as a medical doctor down here in Tassie, which is where I am at the moment, visiting family, which is quite lovely. And I'm the daughter of two pharmacists and the granddaughter of a nurse. So you can imagine how pleased they were when I said I wanted to be a doctor, and how probably not pleased they were when I came back to them and said after a year as an intern that I actually wanted to go to drama school. So as I always wanted to follow my heart, I guess, and that was the thing. With medicine, although I was very good at it and I was a good doctor, it didn't set me on fire. Do you know what I mean, Shelley? It just didn't light me up. And so
yeah.
What I did was make a decision to follow my heart, which was not yet to start business. I just wanted to go to drama school. I wanted to be an actor, and shot off to Sydney, where I went to drama school. And whilst I was there, I attended my very, very first personal development seminar. And I'm sure many of your callers have been along to some kind of a seminar before, or would know what that looks like. And it was whilst I was at that seminar that I thought, that's what I want to do. There was a lovely mix there of helping people, but also, you know, performing and telling stories and expressing your emotions, which was, for me, the perfect balance of that drama side of things and the helping people side of things that I had as a doctor. So I followed a career in coaching and started my own business in Sydney as a life coach, which once I started learning marketing did take off. But really, my career took off as a speaker when I was invited by a gentleman by the name of Christopher Howard to be his head of research and training for some time. Worked with their company, helped them to grow and expand internationally, and that took me to many, many different continents as a speaker. In fact, I've been over the last few years, I've been in front of 45,000 people or so worldwide, and that made me realise that that's what I really, really love to do. I love speaking. I love doing that side of things. So. When I met Greg and we decided that we wanted to start our own business together, when he brought his skill set to the table, we weren't really able to take off quite quickly, but we made a very conscious decision that we wanted our business to be a lifestyle business, because everything I'd done up until then had consumed me. Especially when you're passionate about what you do tend to let business consume you, I think, if you enjoy it. So we made a decision to make it a lifestyle business at that point. And the good news is, you can have a great lifestyle and go from zero to $500,000 in 3 months. It works pretty well.
Yeah, I could totally relate to that. I mean, it's similar to what I love doing. So, very relatable sort of feel, I guess, to business and wanting to do something that you love to do and get paid for it. I guess that's everyone's dream. So fantastic that you've been able to combine all that and create amazing things in your life. So, Greg, you started as an air traffic controller as a shift worker. So how did – that's such a shift from, you know, from being a shift worker to becoming a business owner. How did you actually make that change?
Yeah, it's a funny story. Like, the whole ending up being an air traffic controller was an accident. It's a perfect example of life leading you where you end up is not by design, but absolutely by accident. I was a young 19-year-old or something when I saw the ad in the newspaper, and I'd never been to a job interview. So the only reason I even applied for the job was just to get some interview experience. And then they offered me a job, and 11 and a half years later, I woke up and thought, what am I doing? So it's a funny story, but all the way through, I'd always been looking for something else. You know, I loved the job, but it sort of wasn't fulfilling me. I did different things in the organisation, took on extra duties and stuff like that, looking for more fulfillment. I also was doing some personal development things, and I'd tried some other business opportunities all while I was in my job. The problem was that, two problems, I suppose, was the job was very comfortable. You know, I had a lot of time on my hands being a shift worker. I had a lot of time outside of work, and I also had an exceptionally good income for a young early 20s year old man. And it was tough to basically break away from that. And the second thing was, which in hindsight I can see, I was trying to do all these business opportunities on my own, and that was an uphill struggle. But when Joe and I finally got together and got our heads together about seriously designing our lifestyle rather than being where we're at by accident, but actually making conscious decisions, we sat down and we worked through what we wanted to do, and then it became clear that job wasn't the one that I needed to be doing, and that's when I was able to make the step into our own business.
Okay, so was it both of you starting out in the business together, or Joey, did you start business first and then Greg came into that later on? How did the timeline of that work, just so I know where that fits?
Yeah, well, we basically, the timeline of it was that, you know, Greg and I got together romantically, obviously, first before we started having conversations about business. Although one of the things I think that drew us together that we did have a mutual fascination for business, and we were intrigued by it. We both love business. We absolutely love it. So, you know, we used to have great conversations about our friends and what businesses they were in and finance and what was going on economically and things like that, you know. I think if you're not both fascinated by business, working together can be tough if it doesn't intrigue you both. But I finished up a role with the Chris Fowd organisation, and I was very close to burnout when I finished up, and I basically retired. I was very blessed to be in a financial situation where I didn't have to go straight back and do any work or anything. And so for 9 months I did nothing. And in fact, it was Greg who said, I don't want you to make any decisions for 4 months, because we had a lot of people come to us, and you know, people offered us half of their business and kind of opportunities that you can't refuse, in inverted commas, because you know, I had a great reputation and I was very well recognised in the industry. But he said, look, you're not going to make any decisions for 4 months. And so for 4 months we did nothing, and for 6 months we did nothing. And then finally our friends Andrew and Dale Grant, who I believe you're interviewing as well, said, come on, guys, time to do something. And he said, let's do something together. And it was really an invitation from them that caused us to make our first decision to go into business together. And so we just started with one little project rather than an entire business, but it grew very, very quickly. In fact, in 3 months, it grew up, from standstill and no database to a very successful business and $500,000 in 3 months, because we just finally had something that we both wanted to get our teeth into.
Yeah, I think that was a really wise decision to be able to take that time off. And I guess you're very fortunate to be able to do that, to be able to take a step back and make a real decision rather than falling into business like so many people do. And that would have really helped you to make a reasonable choice in what you were doing and how you were going to plan that out and be able to put the lifestyle first. I just love that you're able to do that. That's fantastic. So how do you actually work in together? How do you keep track of, let's make sure we spend some quality time together romantically, as opposed to let's just talk about business every time we see each other? How do you keep that in balance in the relationship?
Yeah, well, I think it is something that you need to keep a constant eye on. And I think, you know, it's it's more or less important to each, you know, to each individual at different times as well. I don't know if it's the same in all relationships, but for me, I'm the one who's always keeping my eye on, gee, it's been a long time since we've been out and not talked about business. Because as I say, we are both passionate about it, so we enjoy talking about it. But we do need to set some boundaries and parameters around it. So what we usually do is, we have time during the day is work hours and so on. And if we need to have meetings about business, the two of us, we do have to do strategic stuff. We try to do that during working hours. And when we're at home and settled, as soon as I'm cooking dinner and we're entering into the evening, then Greg knows no more further business conversations. We're not allowed to talk about business anymore. And in addition, we also try and maintain kind of a regular date night. So we'll just go out on a date, in inverted commas. And during that, business is totally off the menu in terms of conversation. And that then allows us to do, you know, to make sure that we're also connecting intimately, as well. In fact, Paul and Mary Blackburn gave us some good advice. I think you're interviewing them as well, which is great. You're really interviewing some great people. but Paul and Mary said to us once when we were on the cruise, they said, look, sometimes when you're that busy in business and when things are challenging as well, it almost feels like there is nothing to talk about, so you have to go to the movies and just hold each other's hand. And from time to time we do need to do that because we haven't got anything else to talk about. But then just having that space and starting to clear it out means that you can, you can reconnect. And I think you've got to make time for it, because if you don't, if your relationship isn't your number one value, then business suffers. There's no doubt about it. Would you agree, babe?
Yeah, absolutely. And something else that we found worked really well was sometimes we can butt heads a little bit. So we found the energy of having a third person involved was really beneficial. So something to look at is whether you've got someone who's independent but still aligned with where you're going. So it might be a coach or someone like that who can help you on more on the business side of things, but also a little bit on the personal side of things. It worked out for us that we hired a staff member who filled that role for us. She had a very different personality type to both Joe and I, and basically having that different perspective allowed when we were having conversations and stuff, we always tried to involve her, and it changed the dynamic drastically. It really did move things forward for us in a huge way. So that'd be another suggestion I'd make if people have got access to something like that.
Yeah, and credit to you for doing it this early in your relationship, because, I mean, it's not like you've been married 20 years. You're fairly new in the relationship, so it's great that you're already looking at strategies like that to be able to keep yourselves connected. And so what would you say would be, if you were to say two things that have kept you strong and connected in your relationship, what would you say those two things would be?
I'd probably say one of the biggies is a mutual respect and understanding for our differences. I think one of the tendencies, both in business and in intimate relationships, you see this happen, is you have different personality types, and I am definitely the extrovert. You know, I'm the front man, front woman in the business. I make the sales. I do the marketing. As Greg says, I make the mess. and he is the details person. He's the introvert. He's the data guy, the systems guy. I'm not sure whether your listeners are familiar with the Wealth Dynamics profile, but in Wealth Dynamics speak, I'm a star profile, and Greg is a Lord profile. So, you know, I'm the out there extrovert and he's the introvert. I want to make sure the business can't run without me. He wants to make sure the business has to run totally without him. So I'm totally hands-on, he's totally hands-off. And I think in business, oftentimes in leadership roles, we will try to turn our staff and try to turn our business partners into us and to be more like us. And it's the same in relationship as well. You know, you're always trying to make your partner be the same way as you are because you think that's the one way, the right way, and the only way. It's just a natural thing, especially when you're under stress. So I think doing our Wealth Dynamics profile was such a huge breakthrough for us because all of a sudden I could understand Greg as who he was, not who I wished he was. And in doing that, I can then respect that he's going to have a different way of approaching problems, that to ask him even just to write an email that doesn't exist yet is really hard, because him initiating or starting is a real challenge. Whereas if I give him an email that I've just kind of had a shot at, for instance, and say, can you please proof that and tidy it up, that's Christmas for him, because he likes to fix things that exist but hates to create things that don't exist. For me, I hate detail and fixing things, but I'll create something in a heartbeat. So that respect and understanding for our differences in personality, both intimately and also, I think, in the business context, has been a big breakthrough. That's definitely a biggie. What's a biggie for you?
I think there's a real commitment to, on both a personal and also as a couple level, to constant growth and development. We're always reading books and going to seminars, and we have a lot of conversations, but we do actually structure in time to our week where we have conversations that are, they're not necessarily business related, but they're just to make sure that the channels of communication are open between us, and we discuss the books that we've each read or the conversations we've had with people whose influence we value, or other conversations we've had with other people, or emails we've read, or other, you know, there's a lot of conversation between us, and I think there's a really deep commitment to communication, that we've always got the channel of communication open, which sometimes, you know, having that extra element of a personal relationship in the mix of business can be challenging, but we've basically made a commitment that there is no there's no opt-out clause. You've just got to basically keep going until you get a result, and sometimes that means you've got to swallow your pride, or you've just got to be flexible and find a way through.
Greg's got a really good saying. He always says, every problem starts with communication and ends with communication. So if there's a problem, it's not like it's your fault or my fault or their fault. It's just a miscommunication. And that then kind of, even just that assumption defuses things. And then, you know, the backup that he says, you know, it ends with communication as well. So we can stop having this problem as soon as we talk it through and communicate it through. And that assumption, both in our personal relationship and in our business relationship, really informs not only us, but it's also informed all of our staff and the way that we interact. It's really powerful.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great saying. And, I mean, I've heard a similar one that that said every problem in the world is either caused by poor communication or it's caused by clear communication. So, in other words, it's all about communication. As long as we can get clear on what we are communicating to each other and listen properly, then, you know, we're going to solve a lot of the issues that go on. I'm just going to take you back to what you were saying about how when you're passionate about something, the business can really engross your whole life. So what's your opinion on how realistic it is that small business owners can actually have a great lifestyle as well as the successful business?
Yeah, if you'd asked me that question 3 years ago, I would have said, well, work, life, business, love, it's all the same as long as you're having fun. That was prior to me nearly burning out. and that's because I think when you're doing something that you love, it is so easy to give everything to it. But you do burn like a bushfire for a little while, but it's challenging to know when to slow yourself down. So if you'd asked me that back then, I would have said, well, as long as you're having fun in your business, you've got a great lifestyle. But I've got to say I've changed my tune a little bit since then. And because I saw the impact it was having on Greg when I was working at that level, he was just like, and he used to say to me, look, I'm sick of getting the scraps. When am I going to get the Joe that I love, you know? And so we made a big decision, as I said, at a time of making no decisions, which allowed us to sit down and design what we now call our ultimate lifestyle business. And with that conscious design choice, where we looked at, you know, planning our whole business lifestyle first, we've now tested it, we've proven the model, we know that it works, and, you know, we've got a really great lifestyle now, and not just ourselves, but clients that we've worked with, colleagues that we've worked with who've done exactly that, and we've, you know, designed lifestyle first. Business must fit into lifestyle, not the other way around. And that's really allowed us to have really a lifestyle that looks exactly how we want it to look right now. We live 3 months of the year in Australia. We're back here for 3 months at the moment, 6 months of the year in Europe. We have been living over there in London and travelling around, and then 3 months of the year wherever the hell we like, just on the road being gypsies. Because we love travel is our thing. And, you know, we're now starting to talk about starting a family and going, okay, so now how do we have to flex the business to fit into the new lifestyle we're living into? And it's so flexible because we set it up that way. And, you know, so I think it is absolutely possible you can have a great life as well as a great business if it is important enough to you. But if it's not important, business will just grow and expand and fill up the available space is what I've noticed. You have to be conscious about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what would you say would be the classic mistakes and probably the biggest mistakes that most small business owners would make that lead to their business being so frantic all the time?
Well, I think I fell into this trap when I was looking at different business opportunities. I mean, we live right now in the sort of the age of the guru where the media presents us with all these wonderful people who are so successful. Like you can look at Oprah or Bill Gates or whoever and we basically put them up on a pedestal like they're some magical person, but the truth is none of them would have got anywhere without the wonderful team who's behind them and is often quite well hidden. And I was certainly one that fell for that trap, and I was trying to do things by myself that, like Joe was speaking about, personality types. So some of the things that I was trying to do were just foolish. In hindsight, when I actually learned a little bit about more who I was and what my skills and strengths were, I had some other people in the same industry who were doing exceptionally well, and their back office was an absolute mess and a disaster. And on the flip side, my paperwork and stuff was 100% up to date, more than 100% up to date. I was even doing things ahead of time, and but I wasn't making the same amounts of money that they were, and I could never figure that out. But then learning more about personalities and stuff, I really got what that lesson was. And Joe and I, since we've learned the personality thing, before we hire anyone, we actually get them to do a wealth dynamics profile test so we can actually see how they're going to fit in with the rest of the team, and we know what things not to put on their plate and what things they're going to excel at. So for us, yeah, absolutely, team is just a huge thing. You've got to have the right people with the right skills, and I think that's something that a lot of people going into business perhaps overlook.
And as a dovetail to that, I'd say, babe, The I call it the capability trap. The whole thing of I can do something, therefore I should. So this is the big mistake I see a lot of small business owners stuck in, is this capability trap. They think they're the best for a certain task. You know, I've got to do it. If I don't do it myself, it'll never be done right. If you want something done quickly, you've got to do it yourself. That whole capability trap thing, and it's a dovetail to the staffing thing, that, you know, to finding the right team. If you think you're going to do it alone, you're sorely mistaken. And then the next big mistake is actually they take on the team, but then they're such little perfectionists, and that they disempower their team members, so that they might be in, you know, they might have a great partner that they're working with, but, you know, I give Greg the finance to do, and then I fiddled in it and meddle with it all the time, and then, you know, he gets disempowered around that. Or if he gives me the marketing to do and then he fiddles and meddles, because we're always, you know, there's these little perfectionists going on inside. So I think small business owners do suffer from perfectionism and the self-employed mentality of I've got to do it. I think the biggest conscious shift people ever make is the shift from self-employed, which is still a time for money thing. You know, if you stop working, you stop getting paid, to business owner, where if you stop working, you still keep getting paid because you set up the systems and set up a business that pays you, you know, month in, month out, irrespective of what you're doing. So I think that the capability trap is one of the biggest, I think, that we fall into. And also, if you don't know what you want your life to be full of, you'll fill it up with anything.
Yeah, good point. And I love how, you talked about that. And it's tough for some people to actually let that go, because that perfectionist thing is all about them holding on to the thing they've created. I mean, their business is like their baby and they don't want to give it to anybody else to be responsible for it. And it can be a really big thing for them to hand that over and I guess gain trust that other people can do that as well. So, and it's really just a mind shift to be able to test those things out and learn how you can delegate and how you can hand things over. That's fabulous. So you've talked about these five easy steps of how to go from frantic to freedom. Would you be able to share those with us on the call today?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll have to go through them fairly quickly because we've only got a little bit of time together. You know, just so that you guys have got some idea about them. These five steps that we talk about are things that, you know, it's not something that anyone ever taught to Greg and I, but in that sort of 9 months of doing nothing, we got to a point in it. Naturally, these are the sort of stages we took ourselves through, I suppose, as we created our own lifestyle business. So we really, you know, I had been totally frantic. He'd been frantic in his shift work and so on. And we just gradually, by sort of following our heart and our instincts and all of the stuff we'd learned along the way, went through these five steps. And at the end of going through these five steps, we had a fully functional, great lifestyle business, which is what we call it. And that's allowed us to, you know, to then test this model and share it with lots of other people, and we're seeing some incredible results with them as well. So the first step, and I think this is the most important one, is connection. The guys, you might like to write these down as I go through them. So number one is connection. And what that means is that for many of us, we make decisions about our lifestyle or our business not from a place of power, not from a place of connection to our higher self, or I call it God, you might call it source, the universe or whatever, a place of flow. But usually we make business decisions in reaction to some external event or stressor. And decisions that are made in reaction can only ever be coming from fear, and they're not usually decisions that expand us or take us closer to what we want. They just take us away from what we don't want. And you can run away from what you don't want your whole life, but you'll never end up with what you want unless you get connected to yourself and connected, I guess, to your heart space. Greg and I talk a lot about the distinction of heart-based entrepreneurs these days. And if you're not, you want to come from that connected place. So I think number one, you've got to get connected. And that needs to be something which becomes a habit. It's not like go to a seminar and we all walk out of the seminar feeling connected and feeling great and then forget about it. We need to establish something that I call a connection habit. And I've got two really simple tools that I share with my clients to help them create this habit of connection so that every day they're connected to flow, connected to source, connected to God, your higher self, whatever you want to call it, which means you're always making decisions from the right place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll mute myself because I know that there's a little bit of noise in my background here, so I'm just going to mute myself while you go through the five steps. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So that's step number one is connection. Then step number two is clarity. We need to get absolute clarity, and not just on what you want to do for a living, because I think this is the message that's out there in seminar land quite a bit at the moment. Everyone's telling you, do what you love for a living. You can do what you love for a living. And it's true, you can. But I'm here to tell you right now, I did what I loved for a living and I nearly burnt out because I loved it so much. So there's more than just what you love that you need to get clarity about. There needs to be clarity about your lifestyle first, and then you design your business vehicle secondary to that. So for Greg and I, we were really clear. Okay, so Joe loves to speak. We're going to have an element, you know, there's obviously going to be some speaking element in our business because that's what I love to do. Great. But let's design our lifestyle first. And I remember we went down to that place down at Port Melbourne that time. We had a lovely bottle of Tassie Pinot, and over the bottle of wine, we sat down and said, well, what do we want our life to look like? And we were actually trying to set goals the first time around, weren't we, babe? We were trying to actually set goals, but we ended up with a whole bunch of criteria, a whole bunch of lifestyle criteria rather than goals, because we didn't really care what our outcome was. We just wanted the style of our life to be familiar. So these days I call these things that we came up with them back then our ultimate lifestyle business criteria. They then became something that allowed us to make decisions about every opportunity that came across our plate. Because when you're successful, or even at least when you get connected, opportunities come across your plate all the time. It's the hardest thing is not what are you going to say yes to, the hardest thing is what are you going to say no to. So we crafted our lifestyle business criteria together as a couple, which then meant that in a moment of sanity, we'd sat down and agreed upon what we wanted our lifestyle to look like. And then every business opportunity that came across our path from there on afterwards, it was easy for us to say no to a whole lot of them because they just didn't fulfill our lifestyle criteria. Is there anything extra you'd add to that, babe, just while we're on that little kind of topic?
Yeah, it's been fantastic because when we're pressed or when, it was interesting when Joe said earlier that people offered us, or you know, crazy things like half of their business and stuff. At the time, I didn't like offers that we couldn't, basically couldn't say no to. But in hindsight, we've been able to look back and see that a lot of these things that at the time looked fantastic have turned out to perhaps be things that we would have regretted being into. So these criteria that we've got help us basically to sort and sift through different things that come up from time to time. And even when we're at seminars, people are making offers of things that, you know, might sound great. We can look at it and say, well, it's not actually going to get us closer to our overall destination, or it's not going to get us there in a way that we're going to be comfortable with. So in all aspects, it's just fantastic. It helps us when we have conversations with people. It's just, it's basically a framework that we relate everything back to, which just has been absolutely a godsend.
Yeah. So we have, the clarity element of here, what we're talking about is getting clarity, first of all, on what you want your lifestyle to look like. Like, does it include travel? Does it not include travel? Does it include family? Does it not include family? Like, what do you want your lifestyle to look like? And then craft your business criteria, like what your business has to look like to fit into that ultimate vision of your lifestyle, I guess. So get clarity on those things first. And then, and only then, should you be making decisions about what vehicle you're going to use to get there. See, most people will go, I want to start a cafe. And they'll go start a cafe because they just have this whim one day. But they don't think, well, hang on a second, what do I want my lifestyle to look like? And therefore, is a cafe the most appropriate thing for us to do? Like for Greg and I, we know that we will never, ever, 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 ever own a cafe or a restaurant because our lifestyle business criteria has to give us freedom of place, which means we can run our business from anywhere in the world. Well, a cafe is bricks and mortar and it exists here in this place, and if it's required for us to be there, we don't have freedom of place. So it's right off our opportunity grid straight away. You know, so we have these business criteria that allow us to make these decisions all the time. And then that's the clarity kind of element. Now the fourth element, and I guess just actually on that point, one of the greatest tragedies, I think, like while I love seminars, I would not be where I am without seminars and the education that I've had over the years. I think one of the downsides of seminars is that people, you know, I see this tragedy happen all the time. I'm at a wealth creation seminar, a multi-speaker event, for instance, and there's a speaker up there talking about real estate, for instance, and it's a particular strategy that might need an extrovert to kind of make it happen. And then all the introverts go and buy it because it sounds like it's fantastic. Or, you know, extroverted people go and buy internet marketing packs and forgetting about the fact that they're people and they're sort of sitting behind a computer, you know, driving them bonkers simply because, you know, the person who's up there doing the talking, they've got a vested interest in you buying their pack or buying their education. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but I just think it's really important that we understand ourselves, we have clarity on who we are and what the strengths of our personality are, and choose our business vehicle in alignment with who we are, I suppose, which is a vital thing. So that's, I guess, the clarity element. So that's step two is clarity. Step three is then community, and this is what Greg was just talking about before. You've got to have the right team if you want to build a business where you're not frantic. And if you want to do it all by yourself, then you're going to be frantic for the rest of your life, is what I've decided. I mean, even people who say, you know, you can set it all up yourself, they've still got people, our dear friends Andrew and Daryl Grant have a great ebook business, which is a set and forget, in inverted commas, business. Once it's set up, the money keeps coming in, but they've still got someone who checks their Google AdWords account, makes sure that the Google AdWords are still all performing. They've still got a team around them, which means they don't have to ever look at it again. Someone's looking at it, it's just not them. So I think that's the thing. You've got to have the right community around you, and that's with regards to your peers. You know, who are the people around you celebrating you and cheering you on along the way? And also the right mentors and advisors. I mean, there's no way Greg and I would be where we are right now if we didn't have the right mentors and advisors around us, hands down. And when I talk to people about mentor selection, I think it's really important that they understand mentors on two different levels. First of all, I think you've got to have a strategy mentor. So once you've gone through the clarity process and you're really clear on the strategy that is right for you based on your personality, based upon your passions and based upon your talents and your connection, you know, what it feels like your purpose is. Once you've chosen your strategy, you need to have a strategy mentor. You know, there's no doubt about it. If ebooks is your thing, you know, do some work with Andrew and Daryl. If eBay is your thing, do some work with Matt and Amanda Clark. So you need a really good strategy mentor who's been there and done it before you. But then at another level, I think you need to have, and this is my word for it, that's a bit of a twee word, but it kind of makes sense. I think you need to have a soul mentor. You need to have someone who's going to call you on something when you're on the wrong path for you. And sometimes, and that person that shouldn't have a vested interest in one strategy or the other strategy or whatever. It should be someone who can see who you are, who knows what you're good at, your passions, your talents, your natural abilities and so on, and can be the kind of person who can see straight through to the heart of the matter and go, you know what, there's no way known to man you should be doing that business. You're in totally the wrong thing because of X, Y, and Z. Instead, you should be doing this. Or I can say, okay, business is going great. You want to take it to the next level. You shouldn't do it by leveraging through internet. You should do it by leveraging through bringing on other staff because you're a people person, not an internet person. Or, do you know what I mean? You've got to have the right people around you, and that mentor needs to be someone, I think, that can help you to understand yourself better, not kind of enforce things upon you from without. So I think you've got to have someone like that. And if I didn't have that around me, so many times I would have ended up doing the wrong thing because I'm pretty, the negative spin on it would be gullible, the positive spin on it would be trusting, I guess. You know, you hear about a great idea and you just go for it. And then also as part of your community, you need what I call freedom team members. You know, they might be staff, they might be outsourcers, they might be, you know, the mum who lives next door to you who looks after your kids on Tuesday and you look after their kids on Thursday or whatever. Anyone who's a part of your team that allows you to have the freedom of time that you need to build your business. So you really need to be creating a great community. I think that's a vital step. The fourth step is capability. Well, in fact, capability is the anti-step. You need to overcome this thing I talked about earlier, the capability trap. And that means overcoming this drive for perfection. It means overcoming the whole drive to have to do things because you feel like you can, and instead give it over to people, let it go, and realize that unless you do that, because as you were saying earlier, Shelley, you know, I know people find it hard to let go. Business is like their baby. But the thing is, unless you let that child grow once it's got to a level of maturity and you get input from other people, you know, like if I would never have discovered my love of the performing arts if I had only ever been brought up by my parents because they had no background in it. They were totally scientists. If I hadn't gone and had someone else on my team, as in my, you know, my teachers at school who'd showed me what was possible through the arts, I would never have become who I am. And it's the same with a business. Unless you let it go and let it have other influences from your freedom team members and from the people who are going to grow it, it won't go in the direction that it's possible to take it. And just today I got an email from one of my freedom team members, one of my staff members over in the UK, who's busily working on getting me in front of this incredible crowd over there. I can't reveal the details of it, but it's an opportunity I would never have had the guts to go after myself because I still live with all my, you know, I call it fruit salad, but all of my limiting beliefs and everything in terms of my head. I would have seen the opportunity to go, oh, I'm not the right person for that. Well, she's just about got me ready for it and sold me to the promoters of this event and Lord knows what else because she believes in me more than I believe in myself. And that's fantastic to have people around you like that. And that means, you know, by delegating to her, giving her freedom to do it, knowing she's much better at that than I am, our business grows in directions that we could not have even imagined. So you need to overcome that capability trap, and that's the fourth step. So just to recap so far, step one was connection, step two was clarity, step three was community, step four was overcoming that capability trap, and then step five is command. A lot of people will do a great job of setting up a business and then not take on the responsibility of running and managing that business effectively. So you've got to set up what I call a command center to run that business. And this is where you bring in the left brain, the analytical stuff, really good time management to get stuff done. And this is the stuff that in our business, Greg's really good at. He's the one who's there looking over the details, watching the business, watching the metrics, making sure that everything's happening in the right way. And, you know, we've got other team members now that support him in that. So you've got to be in command and have a system for commanding your business and checking that it's all growing in the right way. Otherwise, it will be absolutely chaos. And it's that command center which will allow you to get your hands off it, I guess, so that you're not having to do it all the time yourself. So they're the five steps from frantic to freedom. There's lots of intricacies in each one, but hopefully there's you know, that little conversation has opened up everyone who's listening to be able to start moving in the right direction and start breaking out of that frantic place where you're just doing everything, even if you love it, but you feel like you're doing everything, being busy and doing everything and being everything for everyone, to a point where if you move through that, you'll grow your business to a point where you can let go of it, you can do as much as you want to because you choose to, and you can enjoy the rewards of it. Because I can tell you right now, unless you do that, you'll never be enjoying the rewards.
That's fabulous. Thank you so much for those points. And I have to be completely honest with you and tell you what happened when I had to say I'm just muting myself and letting you talk. It's because my children decided to come and visit me and were being really noisy. And I had muted myself, but I had to kind of hush them out of the room so I could chat with you again. So as are the joys of children, which you are yet to experience, and it's another challenge in your life, and they're just absolutely brilliant, but, you know, it is another challenge.
Very much looking forward to it.
It's a lot of fun. I wanted to take you back, though, when you were talking about, what was it, when you were mentioning the clarity and looking at how you're going to set up your lifestyle and then how, you know, what you love doing, because you mentioned that obviously you love speaking, so that had to be a part of your business, and then how to build it from there. When in a partnership, and I guess with a couple, you've got to look at two different aspects of what you love doing. So that's one thing that you have to change within those five steps. But in those five steps as well, is there any other modifications that you'd make for couples and to make it specific for couples?
It's not necessarily a difference in the steps. You still go through all of the same steps. You still go through all of the same steps, but you do it in conversation with each other. So when you're starting with connection, you not only have to connect to your own, your own sense of source or your own higher self or whatever it is, but you also need to connect with one another and understand one another. I mean, this is an ongoing conversation. I mean, just last night, Greg and I were at dinner. And having conversations about, when you become financially successful and, you know, you've got your family around you who may or may not be at the level of financial success that you are, and you're all out at the pub and you're doing round for round, what's appropriate? You know, who should be spending money? Should we be splitting it? Should we always pick up the tab? What do we think's right, you know? So you do need to have that level of connection in the same moments. Would you agree, babe? Is there anything you'd say about that?
Yeah, it's exactly where you're going with it. It's an ongoing conversation. You can set some framework, and basically our framework for it is that it is an ongoing conversation and that we're committed to always getting a result. But there's beyond that, it's something that is always toing and froing because we find new examples where we need to basically discuss things and find a new way forward. So it's that commitment to always being on the same side and making sure that we move together, move forward together.
So I think it's like we go through those same steps of connection and then clarity and community, capability, command. The steps are the same, but there's like the added thing of, okay, here's what I think the business, you know, here's what I think I want my lifestyle to look like. How does that fit with what you want your lifestyle to look like? Here's what I think the business needs to look like. How does that fit with what you think the business needs to look like? And we're always consistently having those conversations. Now, I'm thinking that we need to bring on another, another details person right now as the next step in the business. How does that fit with what's going on your plate at the moment? Or do you need another extrovert right now? Or, you know, that sort of thing. So we're just consistently having those conversations and maintaining a level of, Greg says, a commitment to, it's not like we have the conversation once and that's the trajectory we're on forever. this is something we do every year. Like the whole lifestyle design process, which I take people through inside of my programs and which I'm kind of giving you an overview of today, it's not something we did once and then that was it. We do it every year when we go away on a cruise with some of our colleagues. And that is 2 weeks out of the office, away from emails, away from everything, where we go back through these 5 steps, reconnect that, yes, we're on the right path, reconnect on our lifestyle priorities for that year. Is our lifestyle changing much this year? Do we therefore need to change the emphasis of where our business should be in response to that? And it's just a consistent and ongoing conversation and will be for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, that's fantastic. There's one other point that I want to take you back to, but before I do, I'm very conscious of the time and I know we don't have much time left. So I want to get on to what I'm really excited about. Now, I understand that you've got a special offer for my listeners today, which will help them making the lifestyle shift. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely, Shelley. It'd be my absolute pleasure. We were, as I said, for Greg and I, making this lifestyle shift has just made our life absolutely extraordinary. You know, to go from a place where I was, you know, frantic, doing what I loved. Don't get me wrong, I was doing what I loved, but I was frantic to the point of near burnout. He was working for someone else inside of a job that, while he was good at, it didn't necessarily set him on fire either. And for us, we took ourselves through this process quite by accident. But at the end of it, we were left with this ultimate lifestyle business is what we call it now. And we thought, wow, this is a pretty nifty process. So we tested it out with a few of our other, clients and colleagues. Also my family members. I took my sister Kat through it and a number of our close clients. And then just recently, actually not that long ago, I think it was about 6 weeks ago, we started taking a wider array of my clients through. We just had our first, or we're drawing to the end, of our very first Lifestyle Shift Accelerator program. So during this program, what we've done over the course of 8 weeks is take a bunch of entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs-to-be through this 5-step process that we've been talking about today, helping them to get reconnected to why it is that they're even in business, helping them get reconnected to themselves, and then from that place, craft and create their own ultimate lifestyle business. So that at the end of that 8-week period, what they're we're just drawing to the end of it right now. It's so exciting. The feedback we've got is extraordinary. People are hiring people for the first time in their lives. They're finding the money to do that. Miracles have happened. You know, people have needed $30,000 to get their cosmetics that they were creating funded, and it just magically appeared. You know, this is the thing that happens when you take one small step towards your dream. The whole universe realigns itself around you and throws opportunities in your way, and that's what we've seen. So this whole process is called the Lifestyle Shift Accelerator Program. It's an 8-week program. It's not one of these things, you know, check yourself in for a weekend and bam, it's done. It's something which takes a little time to get the level of connection you need to be able to be making the right decisions. And the 8-week journey takes you from that frantic place to freedom. The results that we were able to achieve because of this, as we've said, were $0 to $500,000 in 3 months. We did all of that with one part-time staff member. So it's not like we've got about eight different staff members, I think, now. But when we first did that at the very beginning, we only just did it with the two of us and one part-time staff member. Then we slowed down, we moved countries, you know, we were able to do that. We still got to 7 figures in the first 12 months because we spent the time to plan up front. And make sure what we were doing was right for us. So we crafted, we've tested the model ourselves, and we've tested it now with loads of entrepreneurs. We're seeing some incredible sort of results. In the program, what people can expect to go through is to master those two tools I told you about that allow you to reconnect, those two connection habit tools. So I take people through those. I have them experience the power of something called the true purpose process, which gets them reconnected to their true purpose and why they're even, not just in business, but in life and in their relationship and all of that sort of thing as well. We help people to get into a flow state. We've all had those times where things just happen easily. It's about getting back to that place all the time, day in, day out, and attracting what I call synchronicity to you. Because when you attract synchronicity, it happens a hell of a lot easier, and things which seem so far removed from what's possible for you just turn up on the doorstep. We take people through how to create, how to select the right freedom strategy for them. So, you know, should it be the internet? Should it be business? Should it be real estate? Should it be stocks? What should you be doing? What direction should you take your business in that suits your passions, your personality, and all of that kind of stuff? I introduce people to 6 different business blueprints, give them tools for crafting their command center so that they're actually getting things done. And by the end of it, they have a plan which effectively will allow them to double their income and double their time off in the 12 months. So it's an 8-week program that gets you set for a 12-month period of time. Does that make sense, what the program's all about there, Shelley?
So it's 8 weeks of training but 12 months of support. Is that kind of what you're getting at? I don't understand the 8 weeks and the 12 months.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's an 8-week program. So, yeah, it's an 8-week program that people take themselves through to get to the point of understanding and clarity about the direction to take their business in for the next 12 months. And then it's not actually just 12 months of support, but people get lifetime support with us inside of our lifestyle club. We have a forum where everyone who's been through this lifestyle shift program, we all have the same vocabulary, we all have the same understandings and the same distinctions because we're all, you know, doing it ourselves. And in fact, people are doing business partnerships and learning from each other inside of there. It's lifetime kind of support inside of there where you can get your questions answered. And I've got to tell you, I've been involved in a lot of programs before, but I've never seen a community with the level of commitment to each other and I've got to say it, but love of each other that I see inside of that community is absolutely incredible. Also, in addition, we're going to make sure that people have their own wealth dynamics profile. This is just such a vital tool in our business that, you know, as Greg said, we don't even take a staff member on unless we know their wealth dynamics profile. It's a conversation we have on a daily basis with each other as well as with our staff. So in addition, they're going to get, as part of the Lifestyle Shift Accelerator program, a wealth dynamics profile, which is valued at about $130 Australian. It's $100 US. So we include that because it's so vital. They get unlimited support in the Shift Lifestyle Club for life. It's $380 worth a year, but we include that for life. And then you get the entire video resources you need to take yourself through this lifestyle shift, all of the audio resources that you need, and transcriptions of all of the calls, because it's like a process that we've taken people through, that they can do it in their own time when they want, but we suggest that you do it over that 8-week period of time. And that's valued at $995. So we've got, you know, well over a couple of grand's worth there in the package. But today I'm going to offer it to your guys for a very low price of $597. And the reason we're doing it at a really low price is because we're still just finishing off the last 2 of the live calls. It's you know, we're still getting it all organized. But as soon as we, you know, bring this out in force, and it's beyond the introductory offer, it'll probably be about double that price is what we're expecting to put it once we've got it all together. But because we're still in that interim phase and people are gonna have to be a little patient with us as we get it together, we'll do it at $597 just for your listeners.
That is fabulous. That is such a generous offer. I really appreciate that. And I know the value of being involved in a community like that. I mean, it's rather than, you know, you'll probably still have mentors outside of that community, but it's similar to like a mastermind concept where you can talk to people about your ideas and throw things around and really get some clarification on issues and take your business to the next level just within that community.
That's exactly right, Shelley. What we're really clear that everyone inside of our community should have a freedom strategy kind of mentor, like we were talking about, like for the strategy that they're working on outside of the community for sure. Go learn about your vehicle from the expert in the vehicle. But the Shift Lifestyle Club and that community is all about creating that kind of, you know, at the risk of sounding daggy, a bit of a soul space where we're all there to go, you know what? This is who you are, I see who you are, and this is where you should be spending your time, and this is what your gift is, and, you know, why don't you go back yourself, go get that PA, you know, go do that thing, and just creating that sense of support. And I've got to say, I've been humbled and wowed at the level of support that people have been giving each other inside the community. It's been absolutely extraordinary. So if you want to go become a part of that and the journey with us, we've set up a special link for your people. And that's www.shiftlifestyle.com/lovesexbusiness. So it's shiftlifestyle.com www.lovesexbusiness.com/lovesexbusiness, and that will take people to get the very special offer that I've been talking about today at that special introductory price.
Fantastic. And I've also got a link. I'll have a link on the webcast where everyone's listening to the call. Over on the left of the page, yeah, there'll be a link that'll take you straight to that page. And also I'll put a link on the partner section of lovesexbusiness.com, just in case you didn't catch the URL. So you can just click on a button. It'll take you there. That'll be easier for you.
That'll be fantastic. That's fantastic. Thanks, Kelly. That's just great.
Absolutely.
We really
awesome.
Look forward and, to welcoming a new bunch of entrepreneurs into that community, because as it grows and expands, and we've got people in London, we've got people in, where are they, babe? Saudi Arabia and Ireland, and people all around the world are in there, California. It's just incredible, you know, it's an incredible community. So we look forward to welcoming them.
Awesome. And I wanted to take you back to something that you mentioned before. I know we're pretty much out of time, but it's a fascinating concept that I hear you talk about. And keeping in mind that we've had Paul and Mary Blackburn on the call, and they talk about this in a completely different way, but you've got your own unique way of describing. What is fruit salad?
What is fruit salad? Yes. Fruit salad is my affectionate term for the rubbish that goes on inside your head. It's the little voice that's inside your head that says to you, oh, you could never do that, or he's an idiot, or he's, you know, what's he talking about, or, you know, you're no good, you don't deserve that, la, 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 la. The reason I call it fruit salad is because it's just like a mess in your head. But fruit salad takes the power away from it, I guess, and it makes it, I've kind of decided that you don't have to totally overcome all of your limitations in order to be a success. I used to think that was the case, that once my head was totally clear and I was totally confident and totally on it and totally ready to take over the world, that's when I'd start to see some results. But it turns out, like, I'm still an absolute fruitcake, have total fruit salad between my ears, and we've got a seven-figure business and a great relationship. I think that the trick is to have people around you who believe in you more than you believe in yourself, and listen to them more than you listen to your fruit salad. Would you add anything to that, babe?
I think it's pretty much captured it all. But yeah, Joe and I have both done a lot of personal development, and we noticed there's some people who've probably done too much. They're all revved up and ready to go, but at the same time, they're not getting any results. And then there's some other people that you meet there who, I don't know what it is, they do one course and then they're off and racing and they're doing fantastically. And I think it comes down to what Joe said. You don't need to clean everything up. It's good to get an awareness of it, but at the end of the day, you've got to draw the line and just say, well, it's time to get some action. So, you know, acknowledge that you've got some limiting beliefs and some other things going on inside, and just step out there and take some action and move through it.
Yeah, you've got to blast them out of the way if they're holding you back. But if you've done enough work, you know, you've done enough work, just get on with it.
Yeah, good tip. there's only so much processing that someone can do before they actually need to take action to get to the next level.
Yeah, it's really true. And I think I love personal development, and I think, you know, it's a vital tool in the tool belt, and learning everything that Paul and Mary talk about is essential. If you don't have it, it will hold you back. But the underbelly, and I think everything, there's a paradox in everything. The underbelly of personal development is that a lot of people will go to it and think it's the only way to take it to the next level. But I think for the most, you know, it's 80% psychology and 20% strategy. But if you're not taking that 20% strategy, if you're not doing the 20% action, all of the psychology in the world's not going to help you. And if you're not getting the results, and you've done a lot of personal development, I think the next place to look at is, well, hang on a second, maybe I just need to accept who I am, the way that I am, and work with what I've got and start from here, and just take some action. And that's what the Lifestyle Shift Accelerator program is all about. Rather than trying to shift or change you, it's just go, well, who are you? Let's connect with what you are and build from that place who you are and your strengths, mm-hmm. and build a team around you to support you, rather than saying, you know, there's something broke that needs fixing.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. I really appreciate what you've done for the listeners and the special price that you've offered there. And appreciate your time, too, for coming on the call and sharing all that amazing wisdom that you've gained over the years of building your own lifestyle business. It's just been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Oh, Shelley, it's been a real pleasure to be here with you, and I hope, I don't know if it's a load of wisdom, we're still very much at the beginning of our journey, but every day we learn a lot from each other, we learn a lot from our staff and a lot from our clients and, you know, the people that we're working with as well, you know. I think it doesn't matter how much money you make or where you get to in life, I think as soon as you think that you know it all, that's where the journey ends. So I think, you know, I'm really grateful for Greg and everything he teaches me every day and our staff and everything as well. I think that's part of the recipe. It's been great to speak with you today and just to, it's been fantastic for me also to hear Greg answer some of these questions too and get to know, you know, get to know each other. It's really great. I think this is the first interview we've done together, isn't it, babe?
Yeah, it's been really interesting in the preparation, you know, Shelley. You've done us a favour almost by having us on here because it's made us have some new conversations or just revisit some old things and you know, it's always interesting to move forward and go through these things and even things that you think you've covered or you've discussed previously, you know, as you grow and you move forward and you get new experiences under your belt, you look at them again and you've got a fresh set of eyes. So, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure being on here and like Joe said, this is the first time that I've joined you on a call and it's been a great experience.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm glad I could help you out with that because it was just great to have you on board. And I know I've had a couple of couples that have done their very first interview together, and I know it will be a growth experience. I mean, my husband and I are doing our very first one, I think, in a week's time. So that, you know, we're about to go through the experience as well. So it's challenging for all of us and a great experience to be able to really look at, you know, what do we do? What are our strategies? How do we make this thing work?
Taking the unconscious and making it conscious, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fabulous. Well, thank you so much again, and I'll let you go. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks very much, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit lovesexandbusiness.com or email info@lovesexandbusiness.com.